Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this first Sunday after Christmas, Year C. Our reflection today will be different from the previous ones, as I will present to you the sermon preached at St. Barnabas on the Hill Church this morning at our Mass at 9 o'clock. The readings for today, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 and 26, Psalm 148, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Let us pray. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Lord, we come to prepare for your coming. We come to stand amazed at the manner of your coming, and we come to acknowledge your supreme act of grace and the unfathomable riches of your truth. We come to receive your mercy, your healing, your love, and to be made whole. We come, but we are utterly overwhelmed that you came at all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ and for his coming among us at Christmas. It is easy to think that we don't count, that we have been forgotten, or that no one cares. We praise you that in your Son, we have one who assures us of your almighty presence and proves that your love is truly for each and every one of us. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, for the value he gives to our lives, as we strive to live them in faith, hope, and love. It is as we look to him that we know some things are right and some things are wrong. Some things are against your will and some things are within your purpose for our lives. We thank you for all the fun and laughter, for the joy and peace, and for the time with our families and friends. We thank you for the singing of carols, for listening to the familiar Christmas story, that we can know that it is not just a story. Help us not to lose or hold on Christ this Christmas. Teach us again to remember that the baby in the manger is the man on the cross. And the man on the cross is the Lord of the empty tomb. And the Lord of the empty tomb is the one who is the Lord of eternity. We bring our prayers in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And we have our hymn, CPWI 665. Once in Royal David's City.
Once in
No!
We pray the collect for the first Sunday after Christmas Day, followed by the collect for St. Stephen, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord of glory, for the example of the first martyr, Stephen, who looked up to heaven and prayed for his persecutors, to your Son, Jesus Christ, who stands at your right hand, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is the sermon preached at St. Barnabas on the Hill at our 9 o'clock Mass this morning. It is entitled, A New Life in Christ.
Acknowledge that some of the prayers that we have in our prayer book were really intended to help us, not only in the various celebrations of the church, but to influence our lives and the way we approach the whole task of being disciples of Christ. It is not often that Sunday comes right after Christmas Day, as happened this year. And so yesterday, the church directed us to celebrate on the great gift of God giving God's Son to the world. And we were reminded that He came to bring us into a new relationship with God. He came to give us an opportunity to be freed from slavery of sin and death, and to live a new life. And today, our liturgy, our readings, point us to the effect that this gift of God's Son for the world should have on each of us, on our lives. Our gospel describes Him as the light of the world. And light changes the whole atmosphere. If you find yourself in a situation of darkness, there might be apprehension, there might be fear, there might be despair. But as soon as there is light, you get a certain amount of confidence, because you can see what is going on around you, and therefore you are able to respond. If it is to protect yourself, or if it is to enjoy the environment around. And so light is intended to change things. And this gift of God's Son, who is the light of the world, was intended to change our lives individually. And so if we are to be true to the call to be disciples of Christ, especially in today's world, we have to ensure that we not only understand the importance of the gift of God's Son that we celebrated yesterday, but that we allow the presence of the light of the world to influence our lives. Having celebrated Christmas, it should be a wake-up call for us to be better disciples of Christ, because we are reminded of why we are here and what we are called to do. The light came into the world, and so the light of Christ is to dispel the darkness of the world, and also to dispel the darkness in our hearts and in our lives. And it is important for us to understand that. And St. Paul tries to help us to do this. And I would recommend to you, as you come to the end of this year, to take the time to read the third chapter of his letter to the Colossians. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. It is headed, "The New Life in Christ." And what Paul sets out to help us to understand is the radical change that must take place in our lives if we truly understand the importance of Christmas. If we truly understand the importance of the gift of God's Son into the world, the sacrifice that God made, the sacrifice that Jesus made, then that understanding should bring about a change in our lives. Paul says to us, first of all, you belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you have to put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. In other words, whatever in you that reflects the standards of the world, you have to put them to death. Put them out of your life. And of course, as Paul always does, he does not leave it to our imagination. He gives us examples. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He says, you must get rid of all such things like anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and has clothed yourself with the new self. So as we come to the end of this year, and we will all agree it has been a very challenging year, a very difficult year, a very different year, we need to ask ourselves, to what extent have we been faithful to the call to be a disciple of Christ in this past year? Have we been able to put aside those earthly things? To what extent have we been able to get rid of some of the anger that we have been carrying? Some of the abusive language that we utter, either within or without the hearing of others? How has our understanding that we are called to be disciples of Christ influenced our life in the past 12 months, even in the face of this pandemic? Only we can only answer those questions for ourselves. But you see, Paul in his wisdom, and this is why we are invited, you know, to make the Word of God a lantern to our feet and a light to our paths. In other words, the Word of God must influence the way we live and the way we interact with each other. Paul goes on to point out that those who desire to experience this new life in Christ must remind themselves that they are God's chosen ones. And Jesus says it to us in the Gospels. He says, you did not choose me. I chose you. I chose you before you were born. And I have called you into this special relationship. So having received the call from Christ, we have a responsibility to respond, and to respond in the right way. To respond so that we can attain all the benefits of this great sacrifice that God made to send God's one and only Son into the world, to free us from sin and death, to give us the power to become God's children by adoption and grace. We no longer have to call ourselves children of Abraham, like the Old Testament people. We are children of God, the God who created this universe, the God who gave life to all of this around us. And so we must understand that the gift of God's Son is intended to make that difference in our lives. And so Paul begins by telling us that in verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. When something is holy or someone is holy, they have been consecrated and set aside for God's purpose. To what extent do we consider ourselves holy? When we think about holy, we usually think about God and God out there, and God is so much greater and better than we are. But through Christ, God shares this holiness with us. God has called us, chosen us, even from our mother's womb. God has consecrated us at our baptism and set us aside for some special task for God in the world. So the first question we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing? Am I doing this special task for God? Or am I just living and doing it my way instead of God's way? What am I doing? Paul says, you are holy and beloved. That means we are loved by God. If nobody else in the world loves us, we have the assurance that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us. And so because we have been set aside, and because we are loved by God, Paul says, you have to be different. You can't be the same as the people of the world. You have to be people of God. So he says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Compassion, the ability to respond in every situation with love. Come with passion, love, strong desire for kindness, humility, the other side of arrogance, which is, of course, a characteristic of the world. Meekness, not weakness, meekness. In other words, as Paul would say, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And notice he didn't say don't think of yourself highly, because you are a child of God and you have been called and chosen by God. So God thinks highly of you, and you must think highly of yourself. But you cannot and must not think of yourself more highly than others, because they too are children of God, set aside for some task for God, whether they acknowledge it or not. You have to acknowledge it if you understand who you are as a disciple of Christ. Patience, the ability to wait and to wait with confidence that something good will happen. Why? Because God is in charge. And God is love, and God is goodness. And so only good things can come from God. When these bad things happen in the world, we understand that they take place because there is evil in the world. And God in love has allowed evil to take place so that we are able to choose between good and evil, between light and darkness, between God and the world. And really, you know, this is the reason why I suggest that you should take the time to study this chapter, because in six verses from verse 12 to 17, Paul gives us 10 characteristics that we should not only make a note of, but we should try to see how we have been able to develop them in our lives, our day-to-day existence. He says, bear with one another. And of course, you know that Jesus says we have to love one another, but some people are extremely difficult to love. But he says, bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Familiar words? The Lord's Prayer. That petition, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We want to be free from sin, so whenever we sin, we ask for forgiveness. And we have the assurance that God is able and willing to forgive us. But we must extend the same love to others. And we know from our experience of living how sometimes it's difficult to forgive some people. But if we are to experience this new life in Christ, if we are to allow the light which is Christ to shine in our lives, we must be able to forgive. He says, above all, clothe yourself with love. Clothe yourself with love. And of course, this reminds us of that very familiar passage in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, when Paul says, I will show you a most excellent way. Of course, that double superlative, most excellent. And the reason why Paul says, because he wants to affirm for us that that is the best way to live. And he goes on to say, whatever you do, however great you might feel it is, if you do it without love, you gain nothing by it. So we really have to assess ourselves. And whenever we go to do something, whether it is come to church to worship, whether it is to reach out to help someone, ask yourself, why am I doing this? Am I doing it to be recognized? Am I doing it to be counted as a member? Or am I doing it because I am truly striving to love God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind, and to love my neighbor as myself? Clothe yourself. Put on love like a garment. So the first thing that people see is the expression of your love. What a difference it would make to our interaction with others. Certainly, if we put on love as a garment, then it will show forth in our actions. He says, why you must put on love with a like a garment? Because it binds everything together in perfect harmony. In any situation of conflict, when you enter into that situation with love, peace prevails. The peace of God prevails because God is love. And John reminds us in his first letter that those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And you see the connection, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. when the angels herald the birth of Jesus, they gave us, that is the world, two additional, very special gifts. The gift of joy, joy to the world because the Savior had come, and peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so peace is God's desire for us. That calmness that is able to help us to overcome any conflict, any situation of difficulty, any situation where everything is falling down around us, we can remain with calm confidence that God is with us. And as Paul says, if God is with you, absolutely nothing in this world can stand against you. And he says, be thankful. Be thankful. Do not be like those 9 lepers who were all healed, but did not acknowledge from whence the gift came, and always recognize that gladness is not the same as gratitude. When good things happen, we rejoice, we are glad, we celebrate, but we must never, ever forget to give thanks to the giver. And yes, we have to thank those whom God will use as instruments to bring us the goodness and the blessings, but we should never forget that the ultimate gift comes from the God who loves us, who gave us the gift of life. So be thankful, he says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul is inviting us to go further. Do not just let the word dwell among us, but let the word dwell in us, so that the word, which is Christ, could transform us, could give us this new life which God desires us to have. And when that word is dwelling in you richly, Paul says, teach. In other words, share the value of this word with others, especially God's children. Because today, they are growing up in a very different world in which we found ourselves. It's a more challenging world. It's a more dangerous world. And the danger is more subtle. And so we have to teach our children the word so that they could come to experience this new life, which we are also striving for. And he says, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. In other words, praise God. And as we started our service today, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Every day we must begin by giving praise to God, because it is God who has sustained us through the challenges of life, through the challenges of this pandemic. Many of us have been forced, because of the danger around us of this virus, to really focus on God and stay out. Ask God every day to look after us and keep us safe. It shouldn't have to take a pandemic to do that. But as we look back on this year, we are reminded by Paul to be reach out for you and express our gratitude in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And he brings it all together in verse 17, where he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? It is to act as Jesus will act. Not to condemn, not to break down, but to build up. When he met the woman who was brought before him, who was supposedly caught in adultery, and of course, you should recognize the irony of that, because you cannot commit adultery by yourself. The man they let go, but they brought the woman to Jesus. And he saw the injustice, and he would condemn that injustice. So he would challenge them, okay, yes, here she is, but which of you, the one of you which is without sin, you cast the first stone? And they went away, silent, one by one. And Jesus would say to her, "Neither do I condemn you." So we are not called to judge. We are called to study the word, to study the gospels, to study those epistles that have been left to us, and understand the teachings of Jesus so that we can act always in his name, so that we can act as Jesus will act. And when we study the gospel, we see he would always act out of love. Even when he was condemning the Pharisees and the scribes for their hypocrisy, he would do it out of love for them. He would do it so that they would hear and change their ways. And so that's why Paul sums it up this way. And let us keep that verse with us. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He has ascended to the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. And really, as we used to have that last hymn in the old ancient and modern, there is joy in heaven when any of us, when each of us is able to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. For his protection in the past year, for his guidance, for awakening creativity and innovativeness in us, so that we could still communicate with each other in this pandemic, for his love for us, for his protection, and for his blessings day by day. So let us, in whatever we do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through the gift of his Son, as we celebrate that gift at this time of the year. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O God the Son, highest and holiest, who humbled himself to share our birth and our death. Bring us with the shepherds and the wise men to kneel before your lowly cradle, that we may come to sing with your angels the glorious praises in heaven, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, God, world without end. Amen. Lord Jesus, this Christmas, as we sing the familiar carols, hear the familiar readings, and ponder on the familiar mysteries, give to us the gift of pure worship, that ability which Mary had of attributing to you your true worth, your full value, your inestimable greatness. Teach us to be reverent, yet teach us how to express the love that burns within our hearts as we think of your goodness to us, that you have come to be our light in darkness, our hope in despair, our strength in weakness, our shelter in the storm, yes, and our eternal Savior. Amen. Sweet child of Bethlehem, grant that we may share with all our hearts in this profound mystery of Christmas. Pour into the hearts of men the peace which sometimes we seek so desperately and which you alone can give us. Help us to know one another better and to live as brothers and sisters of the same Father. Awaken in us, in our hearts, love and gratitude for your infinite goodness. Join us together in your love, and give us, O God, your heavenly peace, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have our hymn, CPWI 68. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas and throughout the new year. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And I would wish you and your families a very holy and a very happy Christmas season and a new year 2022 lived in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I invite you to listen to some of the music of Christmas.